Well, hi there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and you're in for a real treat today because you get to sit back and listen and learn with a friend of Take Two. We're so glad he's with us for the entire hour. This is a pre-recorded broadcast, so that we're not taking any calls today, but you're always welcome to email us at take2@ewtn.com. You can always email us after the show. We'll happily put those on our Jerry and Debbie Facebook page and keep the conversation going. But we have a guest this hour, and we're going to talk about true service. Oh, it's going to be just an extraordinary hour, so I'm just going to jump right in. Our dear friend, Auxiliary Bishop Joseph Coffey, is with us from the Archdiocese for the Military Services. And Bishop, thank you so much for joining us again on Take Two.
Oh, thank you, Debbie. It's such an honor and a joy to be back with you on the radio. It's kind of exciting. As I've told you and Jerry, I do listen, and it's really exciting to think about me being a guest. So thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, Bishop, Take Two just absolutely loves you, and it's interesting too because we do know that you listen when you can, and so we're always calling and shout outs for clergy to call in and bishops to call in, and sometimes we get that wonderful treat, and that's fantastic. But to have you for the entire hour is just extraordinary for our Take Two family. So again, this is a pre-recorded broadcast for you, brand new content, folks. So sit back and listen and learn, and if you get something out of it, please share it with a friend. That's a good use of social media. So, Bishop Coffey, let's just jump right in, okay? We've got two extraordinary individuals that are on the road to canonization. Why don't you, if you can, share with us a little bit about them, and then I want to jump in and share what I learned recently about a particular servant of God and why I think this pertains to us today, Bishop.
Sure. Well, the two priests that I'd like to talk today about are Father Vincent Capodanno, who was a Navy chaplain, and Father Emil Capon, who was an Army chaplain. And they have really amazing stories, and I've really gotten to know quite a bit about both of them over the last few years, so it's such a joy to be able to share some information about them. Father Capodanno was the 10th of 10 children, born in Staten Island, and he became a Maronall priest. So he studied at Maronall Seminary in Ossining, New York, to be a missionary. And after ordination, he was assigned to the mountains of Korea, and he had to learn a foreign dialect. I'm sure it was very difficult, but he was persistent and learned the language. And he stayed there for 6 years, which meant that he couldn't even visit his mother and father and his family members for six long years. He then went home for a little visit, a vacation, and then his next assignment was in Hong Kong. And I was able to visit where he was in the residence there on a trip that I made to Hong Kong with my good friend, Father McBride, who was my pastor in Philadelphia. His brother, Tom, had been the Maronall priest, so that was the connection there. And then after he was in Hong Kong for a couple years, he volunteered to serve as a Navy chaplain. And the way it works is a priest has to have the permission of either their local bishop, if they're a diocesan priest, or their religious superior, if they're in an order. So his superior at Maronall gave him permission. He was sent to Vietnam as an Army priest and a chaplain, and he was with the Marines, and he was beloved by the Marines. He was a Marine's Marine. He was a tough guy, and he would do everything they would do. And, you know, if they were out in the field, he'd be out in the field. If they were in the cold rain, he'd be out in the cold rain. And he suffered all that they would suffer on normal training. So he was actually called the Grunt Padre, which is actually a term of endearment. The grunts are the infantry. They're the ground pounders. They don't consider that an insult to be called a grunt. They like that term. And since he was their chaplain, he was called the Grunt Padre. And there's actually a book by that title written by a good friend of mine, Father Dan Mode, who's a Navy chaplain, still on active duty. He's from the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. And 20-some years ago, he wrote a paper for graduate school, and it was expanded into a book, which he published called The Grunt Padre, and it's still being sold today. So the story goes that he survived his initial deployment to Vietnam. He went back to America after a year, back to his family, and something didn't sit right. He just knew he had to go back to his Marines because they needed him. he went back to the Marines, and there was a terrible battle, and he was actually on the battlefield ministering to the Marines, giving last rites, praying with the men as they were dying. He survived his first tour of duty in Vietnam, served admirably, went back home, back to his family, back to the safety and security of home, but he was very, very dedicated to his Marines, so he volunteered to do a second tour of duty, and that was accepted. So he went back to Vietnam, and there was a very, very terrible, fierce firefight going on, and Father Capodanno actually got wounded that day. He got shot in the hand and the arm, and he could have been evacuated. He could have gone home, gotten his medal, he's gotten his Purple Heart. He could actually still be alive today. He'd be in his mid-90s if he was still living. But unfortunately, he went to the aid of a fallen Navy corpsman, and he was shot 27 times in the back and killed instantly. So his body was taken back to Staten Island, and he was buried in the family plot at St. Peter's Cemetery in Staten Island. And I knew that he was buried somewhere in Staten Island. I wanted to always visit his grave, and I was able to do that only a few months ago. So I was there, and I prayed to Father Capodanno that he would inspire me to be a good holy bishop for the military. So he was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor, and he's very, very inspirational. And his cause has been opened for canonization. Back in 2002, it began under then Archbishop O'Brien, now Cardinal O'Brien, who was the military archbishop, now Archbishop Broglio, who's the military archbishop, but that is on, that cause is, it's in the process right now. We're hoping that that can still happen.
Well, there's more I'd love to talk about, because I my husband and I watched twice, Bishop, Called and Chosen, the docudrama on EWTN about Father Vincent Capodanno. And I wanted to share some of the responses and reactions we had, which was, I just felt it was really important that we talk about it and apply it to how we can use those same virtues today, or work on those same virtues today. But you hear the music, Bishop. We're going to hit that pause button. When we come back, we'll talk more about two extraordinary men on the road to canonization with our wonderful friend, Auxiliary Bishop Joe Coffey from the Archdiocese for the Military Services. So folks, sit back, listen, learn, and stay with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, with this pre-recorded brand new content and a guest to Take Two. He's been on before. We know him. We love him. We trust him. Bishop Coffey is with us, and we're talking about true service today. So we'll get back talking with Bishop Coffey in just a moment. I just wanted to share with our Take Two family about prayer requests. For over 40 years, EWTN has been praying with and for people throughout the world. Today, we want to pray for anything that weighs on your heart, such as family members, health, or finances. It's our honor to pray for you. Please take a moment now and send us your prayer request at ewtn.com/prayer. Bishop, talking about Father Vincent Capodanno, we watched the docudrama on EWTN. My husband, Marty, I don't know if you've ever met Marty yet. I hope you get to meet him someday. He's just a wonderful man. But I have to tell you, he very rarely cries at anything on TV. And we watched this twice, and we saw what Father Capodanno went through in the Vietnam War. And we were just, I mean, we couldn't even speak. We were silent. We had that kind of nervous energy in our stomach. And my husband broke out in tears multiple times at the way that Father was so strong, and he stayed on purpose, and he didn't get into the politics, and he didn't get into why we were there in Vietnam. He was there for souls, one-on-one. Can you talk a little bit about that, of what you know of him? Because I just found, I mean, I thought that the docudrama was exceptional. It was just amazing. And I think everybody should watch it. It's called, it's actually called Called and Chosen, about Father Vincent Capodanno, but what can you share about that? Because I just think we're missing that today, Bishop. Do you sense that as well? Like, I mean, well, you're in the military and you work around very brave, courageous men and women. So maybe you don't see it as much as the rest of us do. But in just the regular world that we live in, I don't see many heroes rising up.
Well, I hate to agree with you, but I think this, you're onto something. But I've been really inspired by Father Capodanno since I first heard about him many years ago when I was a chaplain candidate as a seminarian preparing for the priesthood in Philadelphia and also in the reserve for the Navy, getting ready for ordination, which was 1996, and then going on active duty in 2001 with the Marines, actually. And I learned a lot about Father Capodanno from my good friend, Father Dan Mode, who's an Arlington priest, who's actually still on active duty as a Navy chaplain. He's a full captain. And he wrote that beautiful book called The Grand Padre, all about Father Capodanno. So I've read that book, and I saw that same docudrama on EWTN. And I, like you and your husband, am greatly, greatly impressed by Father Capodanno and his service. He clearly, clearly felt called to serve. He volunteered to go to Vietnam. He wasn't drafted. He could have avoided that war because of being a missionary priest and doing good work wherever he went, Korea and Maranol and Hong Kong, his two first assignments. And he could have gone on and done many more assignments, but he did volunteer to serve because he knew that there was a need for priests serve as chaplains, and chaplains that have been around since the Revolutionary War time. They were originally the most educated, so they would actually give classes to the midshipmen on the ships. And since the Civil War ended, there have been actually five Catholic priests that have been awarded the Medal of Honor, our nation's highest military honor. So I think you're right. Father Capodanno is a great example of being called to serve. And there's different ways of being called to serve, obviously, the priesthood, the religious life, even in married life, to be a good husband and a good wife, a good father and mother. There are ways to serve our Lord by how we serve the children. So I had that great example growing up, being the fifth of nine kids, and my mom and dad were clearly called to serve each other and us and our Lord. They're both passed away now, but they taught me all about service. I think that's probably what inspired me to want to be a Navy chaplain and to serve in the Navy, which I got to do for a total of 28 years in the U.S. Navy. So I never took it for granted. I was always very grateful that my bishop gave me that permission, because a priest needs that permission to serve as a chaplain. So Thank you for letting me talk about that.
Well, and I can attest to that, having met your family. You come from an extraordinary family. You're very blessed. And it does start in the domestic church, absolutely. And those seeds need to be planted, and then where children grow up in a home where they feel supported in what they're going to go into, especially if it's a vocation like the priesthood or something of that nature. I agree with you. It has to start in the home. But Bishop Coffey, let me ask you this other question. I think I'm pretty sure about this. Father Capodanno, he didn't carry he never defended himself. There was no weapons he carried, correct?
Oh, that is correct. Under the Geneva Convention, a chaplain is considered a non-combatant. So a chaplain doesn't carry a weapon. Except the rosary, of course. I always had that in my pocket.
Right.
But when I was in Afghanistan for 7 months with the Marines during the war, I had a bodyguard. I did not carry a weapon either. So that bodyguard was a Navy, he was what they call a religious program specialist. He was from Alabama, named Trevor. He never left my side for 7 months. And if a chaplain gets captured with other prisoners of war under the Geneva Convention, a chaplain is not considered a POW but detained personnel. So that's what gave Father Capon, the next priest we're going to talk about, opportunity to serve his fellow soldiers while in the POW camp in North Korea. But that's That's our next priest that we're going
to
talk about.
Right. But let me go back to this, because when you were in Afghanistan, you had a bodyguard that was ready to go to help you no matter what, right? So he was always with
right.
you.
He was assigned to me. Okay. I was his responsibility. We were on Camp Leatherneck in Helmand Province. There were probably 10,000 Marines on that camp. Mm-hmm. Maybe 3 or 4 people on that entire camp weren't armed at all times, and the chaplains were those people. So chaplains don't have any weapons training. We don't have to go on the firing range to shoot mm-hmm. weapons. And actually, I'm kind of grateful for that. I really wouldn't want to be a combatant. I'm very grateful for those who volunteer to serve our country. Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul II, said that military service was an honorable profession. And he said that after World War II ended, when his homeland of Poland was overrun by the Nazis, he had to go to seminary underground. If he had been caught, he would have been shot. And he credits the West, our country and our allies, for coming to the aid against Nazi tyranny. So I'm very grateful for those who are in the military, those who are combatants. But I'm glad that as a chaplain, I didn't have to be one of them. I could be mm-hmm. a non-combatant.
Right. So you're grateful for that aspect of it. But did you ever feel, when you were in Afghanistan, did you ever feel very vulnerable that at any moment you could lose your life?
Well, I can tell you this. I was there for 7 months. And I don't know how many rosaries I said, but it's probably a couple thousand.
Wow.
I was always praying the rosary. I had pockets full of rosary beads that I gave out very freely to Marines, and no one ever turned one down. They were always happy to get them. And I never actually was in a what they call a firefight, and I'm grateful to God for that, because I don't think I'm a very courageous person. I played paintball once, didn't even like it, because I got shot in the neck.
Right,
that
really hurts.
Hurt.
That hurts.
If this
yeah.
was real battle, I'd now be dead. So mm-hmm. I never carried a weapon, but my bodyguard never left my side, and he was very, very mm-hmm. well armed. And even when we went out into the villages, I was in my flak jacket and helmet and boots and goggles, but no weapon. He was right next to me at all times,
wow.
Ready to protect me. And I'm sure he would have laid down his life for me if that was necessary. Right. But thankfully, that was never necessary.
Do you ever get to see him anymore? You probably feel still very close to him.
Well, I urged him to get a college degree when he finished with his enlistment, and he did. He went to the University of Alabama and got his college degree. So I'm very, very proud of him. So, I'm still in touch.
That's wonderful. We're speaking with our dear friend, Auxiliary Bishop Joseph Coffey of the Archdiocese for the Military Services, and we're just so grateful that he could spend the entire hour with us talking about true service. And we're talking about two extraordinary men on the road to sainthood, and we're going to move over. We were talking about the Vietnam War and Afghanistan. Now we're going to talk about the Korean War. But before we do, one more question, Bishop, about Father Vincent Capodanno. If he had come back from the Vietnam War and he had seen all of the protests and all of the disrespect for the military, what do you think? How do you think he would have reacted?
Oh, I can't even imagine the disgust he would have felt. I've often said this, that I think nowadays, for the most part, most Americans are very respectful to the military. I mean, I would walk through an airport wearing my dress blues, and many times people would say to me, "Thank you for your service." And I would just say, "Thank you. It's an honor." Those guys and gals from Vietnam, they did not get that, and that was a disgrace. For the most part, they were drafted. They were told by our government that they had to serve, and they served. And they came home, and many of them were treated very, very poorly, called baby killers, things like that. And that was a disgrace. They were there serving their country, risking their lives, and they were treated very, very poorly. But thankfully, I believe those days are over. And now when I see people walking through the airports with their uniforms, I often hear people saying to them, "Thank you for your service." So I am very grateful for that. And I think mm-hmm. Father Capodanno would have been very, very upset if he had heard anything. any of that kind of stuff himself.
So he's actually buried in Staten Island, or on Staten Island, and you can actually go and visit the church and where he's laid out. Is that true?
He's buried in a cemetery.
Oh, he's in a cemetery, so he's not in a church or chapel. Okay.
No. He's in a cemetery, St. Peter's Cemetery, in Staten Island, and I was able to go there and say a prayer at his grave.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, they did a great job with the docudrama, and then there's other podcasts out there floating around, which is great. We are going to move, going from the Navy over to the Army in the Korean War, so you've got another person you wanted to highlight about true service.
Yes, I really enjoy talking also about Father Emil Capon. It's spelled K-A-P-A-U-N. It's pronounced either Capon or Capon. And believe it or not, I met his nephew, and his nephew said even the family says it can be pronounced either way. So I usually say Capon. So Father Capon was born and lived in a little village called Tilden, Kansas, which is not too far, about 60 miles from Wichita. And his parents were Czech immigrants. And after his ordination, he went to his home parish of St. John Nepomucene in Tilden, Kansas. And then he volunteered and was given permission to serve in the Army as a chaplain during World War II. And he served in Burma, but he didn't actually see much action. So after the war, he went back to Kansas. And then 2 years later, he asked his bishop, and his bishop gave him permission to go back into the Army as an Army chaplain. He then went to Japan for the occupancy of Japan, and he was in some exercises near Mount Fuji, and I'm sure he climbed the mountain, because I did. A lot of us do when we're over there. But anyway, shortly thereafter, the Army battalion that he was with sailed to Korea, because the Korean War had just begun when the North Koreans invaded the South Koreans. And what happened was, during the initial Battle of Unsan, which was the first big battle, the Chinese joined the North Korean forces and were really overrunning us for a while. And he was ordered to go to retreat with the soldiers. But there were a lot of Army soldiers, our U.S. soldiers, who were injured. So he volunteered to stay with the injured soldiers. And the story, which was witnessed by many people, was that if you couldn't walk, if you couldn't march when you were captured, the Chinese would just shoot you. That was it. They weren't going to carry you on a litter. So there was a sergeant named Sergeant Fred Miller, U.S. Army sergeant, who was in the ditch with a broken leg. And the Chinese soldier was about to shoot him. And much to the amazement of everybody, probably including the Chinese soldier, Father Capon just very gently pushed the rifle away and went into the ditch, helped Sergeant Miller to his feet, and basically half carried him, helped him to go 87 miles to the POW camp deep in North Korea. And for the next couple months, you can imagine the conditions were atrocious. Freezing cold, lice, disease, it was awful, terrible conditions. But because Father Capon was a priest and a chaplain and not considered a POW but detained personnel, he was actually able to go from hut to hut. And many witnesses who survived the war said that he never stopped encouraging the men. He would tell them to keep going, hang in there, you're going to make it. He would dig latrines. He would settle disputes among the men. Yeah. He boiled water and made called coffee.
Let's hold it right there, Bishop, real quickly, because you hear the music. We'll come back and pick up where you left off about Father Capon when we come back on this pre-recorded broadcast with Bishop Coffey. We're so glad you're with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie for this wonderful pre-recorded new content broadcast of your show and a favorite of Take Two, Bishop Joe Coffey. And we're so glad he's with us talking about two extraordinary priests in wartime, and it's the amazing heroic things that they did, and they gave their lives, and now they're on the road to sainthood. So pick up where you left off with, now, which way do you prefer to pronounce his name?
I call him Father Capon.
Father Capon. Okay, so that's how we're going to call him, Father Capon. So pick up where you left off on what he did while he was in North Korea.
So Father Capon was in the POW camp with the American soldier POWs, and the witnesses who survived the war, even men who were not Catholic, made statements about how Father Capon never stopped serving his men. He would bandage wounds, he would clean their bandages in the freezing cold water. He would make what he called coffee, but it really wasn't coffee. He just basically boiled water and added a few things to it. And he'd walk around the camp saying, "Hey, boys, got some fresh coffee." And everybody knew he was just trying to cheer them up. He was just a real, real inspiration. And the communist Chinese guards, they hated him and they feared him because they couldn't break him. They kept trying to re-educate him with propaganda, but he would basically just laugh at them and say, "Well, I'm not interested." So he would just keep doing what he was doing, and then he himself got sick because the conditions were just absolutely deplorable. He got dysentery, he got pneumonia, and he probably maybe could have survived those two things, but he also got a blood clot in his leg. And so he was dying, and the guards came in to take him to what they euphemistically called the hospital. But everyone knew it was no such thing as a hospital. It's where they took people to die. And the men started protesting, saying, "We'll take care of him. We'll take care of him." And they said, "No, we're taking him." And Father Capon, as he's on the litter being carried out, says, "Don't worry, boys. I'm going to where I always wanted to go. Hang on. You're going to make it. Go home to your families." So many of them did survive. So it was believed that Father was buried in a mass grave near the Yalu River, but this is an incredible part of the story. In 2005, one of the soldiers who was there in charge of burying him said he was buried in actually a separate grave. And then after the war, during what was part of the armistice, about 1,800 of our soldiers who died in Korea were disinterred at that POW camp and brought to the National Cemetery in Honolulu, Hawaii, which is called the punch bowl, because it's made it was made from a volcanic place where a volcanic eruption happened. So through DNA, his body was actually identified only about 3 years ago in 2021. It's a remarkable story. So the Diocese of Wichita verified that his remains were found. We can only imagine his surviving nieces and nephews, how overjoyed they must have been to get this news. He was brought back to Wichita for full military honors. I was really hoping to go to that summit, to that funeral, to represent Archbishop Broglio and the North Archdiocese. I would have happily gone, but luckily another auxiliary bishop got to go, Bishop Richard Spencer, who had retired as an Army captain, and he's still on active duty as an auxiliary bishop. He got to go. And they had a beautiful funeral mass for him in a big arena. Thousands of people lined the streets as the horse-drawn caisson marched slowly through the streets on his way to the Basilica in Wichita, where he's now buried in an above-ground crypt in the Basilica there in Wichita. And I got to go there just a couple weeks after the funeral to pray at his grave. Now, here's another part of the remarkable story. Back in 2013, he was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor in a beautiful ceremony at the White House. And guess who was there? Sergeant Fred Miller was at that ceremony. He's the man that Father Capon had rescued from death and helped carry to the POW camp. So Father Capon is a wonderful example, like Father Capodanno, of just service. Never stopped serving his soldiers, so we're hoping that he'll be canonized as well someday. Very inspirational men, both of them.
So a couple things for our Take Two family. So Father Capon is at the Basilica in Wichita, so Wichita, Kansas. So that's where he is at. So if people wanted to go and pay a respectful visit, they can. Correct? The public. Okay.
Yes, and also if I could just share that about 10 years ago, a priest from Wichita, Father Eric Weldon, who was Army reservist. He and three buddies decide to make a pilgrimage from Wichita to Pilsen, 60 miles over 3 days, and it has grown. So now every year, a couple hundred people make that pilgrimage from Wichita to Pilsen, and I've gotten to do it twice, and it's remarkable. They tell the story of Father Capon. We pray the rosary. We have beautiful masses, and then we finish at the church, St. John Nepomucene in Pilsen, Kansas, 60 miles from Wichita, and that's another way the people of the diocese of Wichita, and there's a Father Capon High School also in Wichita.
Oh, cool.
So all those students know all about Father Capon.
Very nice. How old was he when he died?
About 38, same as Father Capodanno, too young, much too young.
Yes. And were they both officers, one in the Army and one in the Navy?
Yes, you have to be an officer to be a chaplain.
That's what I thought. Okay.
You have to have your college degree and have an officer's commission.
Okay. And so is Father Capon a servant of God? Is he, or where is he at in the process?
I believe he's a servant of God, yes.
Okay. So they're both kind of traveling on the same kind of canonization road.
We're hoping to someday go to Rome for both of them.
Yeah, that's amazing. As you were telling the stories, I was thinking of St. Maximilian Kolbe, just the similar kind of demeanor with being with people who are in prison and who are being held captive. And, you know, it's very interesting that kind of disposition under such tremendous threat. Again, I go back to this where it's like, it's so odd because you don't really find that today, Bishop, when you're dealing with people just on a regular basis. Most people are just taking care of themselves and just worrying about themselves and, you know, not really putting themselves out there. They don't want to be canceled. They don't want to be hurt. They don't want to be threatened in any way. And it's an interesting dynamic, very different from what we're learning about these two extraordinary priests.
Yes, and you brought up Father Kolbe. As a Navy chaplain, I served for 3 years in Japan. I was in Okinawa and in Yokosuka, and I got to go to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And Nagasaki has a beautiful hermitage where Father Maximilian Kolbe had lived back in the 20s, in the late 20s, before World War II even happened. And he built a monastery there, and people said, "You're building it on the wrong side of the mountain." Well, he built it where he thought it had to build it, and when the atomic bomb was dropped, that hermitage or monastery survived. And that's right around the corner from where Father Paul Miki, who's a Japanese Jesuit, mm-hmm. who was crucified with his companions as a martyr. So we have all these wonderful examples of people, really throughout our history of the Church, who have been called to serve others.
Right.
So Father Kolbe certainly was an example of that, and I think many of your listeners would know his story about how he was in the POW camp, and he actually volunteered to take the place of a man who was sentenced to death, who was going to die, and Father Kolbe said, "Take me, I'm a Catholic priest." And that man who he saved years later was in St. Peter's at the canonization of Father Kolbe.
Mm.
So can you imagine what that must have been like. So beautiful.
Yeah, we love St. Maximilian Kolbe. And I'll tell you, it's so interesting about how they couldn't put him to death. And that he
right.
just, yeah, isn't that incredible how God just gave him the grace to keep going right until the very end? And wow, just
right.
extraordinary. You know, yeah, Bishop Coffey, I have to tell you, you know, a lot of people don't even realize that the military has its own diocese, its own archdiocese, right? And it's so interesting as you're telling these stories, I realize that you are just a wealth of information into a world that most of us don't ever get to experience, because unless we sign up to be in the military or work somewhere around the military bases and things like that, we're never going to really experience the way you have seen it. Is there anything you can tell us that we should know, especially today, about our military? You know, we hear all these things that are floating around with, we're in an election year, and so you hear tons of things about the military, and they throw that out there all the time about the vets and everything. And it's interesting, because I come from a military family, and I'm like, that's not the way I remember it and things like that. And so it's just odd. Anything you can share with us today on what we need to know about our military men and women, what we need to pray for, what we should be looking out for?
Sure. Thank you. What I'd really like to do is just for a moment tell people about the military archdiocese. Because when I tell people I'm an auxiliary bishop for the military archdiocese, you'd be surprised, but a lot of people often say, well, what is that? Mm-hmm. They've literally never heard of it. So what that means is everybody who serves in the military, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, Space Force, if they're Catholic, they belong to the military archdiocese. And as you know, we have military members all over the world. So geographically speaking, it's the largest archdiocese in the world. We have Archbishop Timothy Broglio is the military archbishop, and he's arisen from Cleveland, had been many years as a papal diplomat. And about 14 years ago, Pope John Paul II, I think it was, made him the archbishop for the military archdiocese. So he's also the president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. So he's an extraordinarily busy man. He's headquartered in Washington, D.C., but he travels all over the world. And he has four auxiliary bishops who help him. Bishop Spencer covers the military base on the East Coast. Bishop Buckin's got the West Coast. Bishop Mum has Europe and Asia. And I have all the veterans' hospitals. So we all get to serve our men and women in uniform who are Catholic. And then we have many, many priests who serve as chaplains in the Army, the Navy, or the Air Force Chaplain Corps. And then we have the Veterans Affairs, medical centers, who are all endorsed by Archbishop Broglio. So the priest gets to be, it's really like a double calling. You first call to the priesthood, but then your second calling is to be either a military chaplain or a VA chaplain. And we get to do everything a priest does, say mass, your confessions, do weddings and funerals and baptisms and teach people the faith. So it's really, really wonderful. And our military, they're all volunteers. So for many years, it's been an all-volunteer force. No one's drafted. So that's why we're so grateful that people are still willing to volunteer for the military. And they're very, very dedicated. The average age is not that different from college age, like 18 to 22. So these are young men and women right out of high school who volunteer to serve for usually a minimum of about 4 years. And they can learn tremendous skills and get all kinds of training. And then they can either enlist a couple times and make it a career, or they can get out and do something else. But they'll always be proud of their service. And I'm really proud to be their vicar, as the vicar for mm-hmm. Veterans Affairs.
We can tell. We can hear it in your voice. It comes from your heart. It's very obvious. How are our veterans doing? Are they doing well? Because we hear that the statistics are saying that, you know, that there's a high rate of depression and things like that. Can you tell us what we can do as the lay faithful?
Well, in all seriousness, I really do ask all your listeners to please pray for our veterans. Some of them are really hurting in many ways, PTSD, things like moral injury, could be drug or alcohol problems or any kind of problems like that. The VA tries very, very hard to help in different ways with chaplains and doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers. They really do try to do everything they can for them. But very, very sadly, the national statistic is that almost 20 a day do die by suicide nationwide. So that's very, very sad when we think about that. So keep praying for our veterans. And when you see a veteran, please say to them, thank you for your service, because that, that actually really means a lot to the veterans, that they're not forgotten.
You know, Bishop, I always do, because like I said, I come from a military family, and every time I, you know, you see them wear the ball caps, you know, that show what, when they served, where they served, and I'll go up, or my husband and I will go up and just say, thank you so much for your service. And almost always they drop their head in this beautiful, humble way. And they barely, you know, say a thank you, because they don't want to draw attention to themselves. Do you notice that all the time?
Yes, I do. Yep. Mm-hmm. They're very humble. Very humble.
Yeah. But that's true service, Bishop, and that's the reason why we wanted to do this program today. And you were the perfect guest to be with us, because I think we need more conversations like this. I don't think we have enough of them in the world. We're constantly going at each other and, you know, trying to find out what's wrong and tearing each other apart in this world, and sometimes even in our church. And we need more positive conversations to build each other up and to keep each other moving as the body of Christ. But Bishop, before we get to the final part of Take Two, and by the way, I have to ask you back again, because your buddy Jerry is in seminary right now with his first semester, and he's going to be so upset that I got to spend the whole hour with you. So I'm going to have to ask you back when he comes back to us in December, and you'll have to join us again, and you can ask him all sorts of questions of what it's like being in class again. But before
I am so proud of Jerry. I mean, Take Two listeners, they know Jerry, and they know his story. I think that he took a little pause from seminary, that we were in seminary together back in Philadelphia at St. Charles Borromeo, and we played a lot of basketball together. He's an excellent basketball player. He plays like Larry Bird, very cerebral player, very, very good basketball IQ. And when he was on the show, and I used to call in, in the back of my mind, I kept saying to myself, Jerry, why are you not a priest? Because he's just so knowledgeable about the faith, and such a loving person, and so friendly and everything. I thought, he needs to go back to seminary. So when he called me a couple of years ago and said he was thinking about it, I said, Jerry, please, do not hesitate. Let's get you a bishop. Let's get you a diocese. You are called to be a priest.
Yeah.
And so when he told me he was going to be going back to seminary, I was overjoyed. Mm-hmm. And he is going to make one awesome priest. And he's got to give me some notice so I can make his ordination. But when he's back in December, let me know. I'll call in the show and I'll ask him how he's doing in seminary, okay. But I'm sure he's doing very, very well.
Yeah, definitely. You're going to have to do that. I think it's going to be a very packed ordination. I think a lot of the Take Two family wants to come as well, so it's going to be pretty packed. But before we get back to our discussion about true service, let me just share with our listeners, this is a pre-recorded broadcast for you. We do this periodically throughout the year, because we like to bring you brand new content and all sorts of information that is important to you in your faith life. But EWTN has just wonderful features for you, and one of them is Podcast Central, the Catholic Conversation. It's another great podcast on EWTN's Podcast Central. It is the Catholic Conversation with Steve and Becky Green. I know them personally. They are incredible. They help Catholics faithfully live their vocation by navigating moral challenges and exploring current issues facing the faith in our culture. You can hear the Catholic Conversation and other faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates around the world, all in one place, all free at EWTN Podcast Central. All you have to do is visit EWTN.com/radio and click on Podcast Central today. So in this final segment, Bishop Coffey, a couple things I wanted to ask you, and then please let's make sure we save time at the end so you can impart a blessing for all of us, because the Take Two family, we love prayers, we love blessings, we love all of it. Any grace that could flow our way, we happily receive it. But so Bishop, in this final time we have together, anything you want to share with the faithful, anything, you have a worldwide platform. Is there anything on your mind, your heart that, you know, you feel like, well, you know, if I really had to preach this far and wide, this is what I would say.
Well, that's a really wonderful opportunity. I would say that we have to never, ever, ever take our faith for granted, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that he died for our sins, and when he died and rose from the dead, he overcame sin and death forever, and that we have the opportunity to go to Mass and receive him and hear his word and scripture, and then to receive his body and blood, soul and divinity every time we receive the Eucharist. And that's something that I got to do in all kinds of crazy places as a priest, as a chaplain, on the flight deck of an aircraft carrier, on top of mountains, on the hood of a Jeep. Wherever I said Mass, didn't matter what was the environment around me. I'm a validly ordained priest, so it's the Mass. It's the unbloody sacrifice of Christ. And so I was recently able to go to Indianapolis for the National Eucharistic Congress, and it was really extraordinary. I'm so grateful I got to go and share our faith with about 60,000 people who were super happy to be at Lincoln or Lucas Oil Stadium, where the Colts play football. So I just want to encourage all your wonderful listeners. I know many of them are very, very faith-filled, but some may have fallen away a little bit. And so I want to encourage you to, like John Paul said, be not afraid. Go to Mass, go to confession, find a priest, go to confession, and get back to the sacrament. It's never, ever too late. Jesus is always welcoming, like the prodigal son and the father, and that beautiful story in the gospel, that God the Father is always welcoming us home. So if anyone is listening who's not been practicing their faith, for whatever reason, know that faith is a choice. It's a gift. It's choosing to believe. It's believing. It's you know, we don't have the proof we might want, but it's believing without that proof sometimes. It's a gift. Faith is a gift. So I encourage everyone to really practice their faith. And that's something that I'm able to share with you right now, and thank you for giving me that opportunity.
Oh, that was beautifully said. The Military Archdiocese is very lucky to have you, Bishop. You are a wonderful shepherd. You are an extraordinary individual. You have a beautiful spirit about you, and you're so approachable and just wonderful to talk to. It's so obvious. And so God bless you in all your ministry work with the military and everyone you encounter. And the Take-Two family, I know every time you come on, every time you've called in, everybody goes, "Who is that bishop? I want to hear more of him."
Right. I'll be calling more often.
There you go. Only call when it's when you have something like really affirming to say. Like, you don't want to challenge us at all. Yeah, I'm just teasing. You can. I'm teasing. Right. But Bishop Coffey, thank you so much for being with us. And Your Excellency, we love a blessing, and we love powerful blessings from great shepherds like yourself. So thank you for being with us. I will tell Jerry you said hello. I want to also thank our producer, Charles, for arranging this and putting this together. It was just brilliant for our Take-Two family. So with the final remaining just couple minutes, Bishop, we'll sit quietly and wait for your blessing.
Okay, and Debbie, I do want to thank you for inviting me to be on your show. I know how on fire you are with the faith, and your spirit is very infectious, and your joy and really comes through. And I think I learned that a long time ago from my mom, to be joyful and to be happy, put a smile on your face. In fact, when we were little, if we had a grumpy face, she'd make us go back upstairs, and we couldn't come back down for breakfast until we had a smile on our face. So I thank my mom for that good example. But you have that kind of a personality yourself, and that attracts many people. That's why you're loved by the Take-Two family. So Thank you for all the good work you do.
Thank you, Bishop. Thank you. You're going to make me cry. Don't make me cry until after the show. Okay.
All right. Let me give you my blessing. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Auxiliary Bishop Joseph Coffey of the Archdiocese for Military Services. Bishop, real quickly, before we go, let me just ask you this question. You have a website. Is there a website for the whole Archdiocese, correct?
Yes, www.milarch.org, milarch.org.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Bishop Coffey. Thank you again, Charles, our producer. You were wonderful arranging all this, and you hear the music, Take Two Family. So this episode is closing. But if you got something out of it, which I hope you did, please share it with friends. Please do that. And keep praying for our military men and women. So important. If you want to join us on the Jerry and Debbie Facebook page, we'll post some things after the show. So maybe it'll be of interest for you, and you can share those. And also, you can always email us, take2@ewtn.com. Well, that'll do it. And we just want to thank all the affiliates that carry Take Two. You're doing such a fine work. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Until tomorrow, join us for another episode of Take Two. Have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.